search this out.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, one of these nights, and about 12 o'clock, this old world's going to demand rock. Saints, they all tremble and cry for pain, for the Lord's going to come in his heaven airplane.
of hope may be in Rome.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Jennifer Snell for Unseen Realms. And this is episode 52, Haunted Houses, Portals, and Things That Go Bump in the Night. So we decided to do a special show for Halloween. And Grace, are you there? Hold on one second here. She was on. Here she goes. Hello.
Hi, everybody. Hi, how are you? Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
All right, so let me explain Things That Go Bump in the Night. It's from a Scottish poem. From ghoulies and ghosties and long-legged beasties and things that go bump in the night, good Lord deliver us. and then underneath that, because I was looking up Boogeyman, and did you know, this is so sad, 62 countries have their version of the Boogeyman to frighten children into behaving. 62 countries. Don't go out at night. The boogeyman's going to get you. That's really sad, huh?
That's sad.
And I mean, it's all over the world, huh?
I said, I'm surprised people still do that. But
oh, yeah, I was listening to Wikipedia, and I counted. It was 62 countries. So I was like, oh, my goodness, how sad is that? So we're doing things that go bump in the night and all that other stuff. So would you like to start?
Sure.
Okay.
I would love to. All right. So Grace and I were talking about the show, and I thought, well, probably the best thing to do is to tell a personal ghost story. Because that way, everyone kind of understands that it happens to all of us. It can happen to all of us. And this is actually a really cool story. This is a family ghost story. So my mother is from Newark, Ohio, which is in about 25 minutes east of Columbus, Ohio. And the family has a farm, a farmhouse, and a barn. You know, they used to raise cows and all kinds of stuff and corn. They still have corn and soybeans. But my grandfather's uncle, named Juanita, lived in the house by herself from like 1820 to almost around, gosh, she died in the house. So it was like around the early 1900s. She died and it laid vacant for a long time. And then my grandfather inherited the house. So it's this big old farmhouse. It's completely, you know, there's nothing in it. And my mom, when my grandfather died, my mom and my aunt decided to start renting it out, you know, to make money. So they started to rent out the house. And there was a really nice woman that moved in with her two children, and they were about 8 and 10 years old, a boy and a girl. They were kind of young. So they moved into the house, and my mom went up to Ohio to get the first month's rent from the woman. She was there, like, in person. And the woman said to my mother that the woman that was renting the house said that there was a woman that was appearing to them, a ghost. It was a ghostly figure because she said you could see through her. You could see through her. And she was an older woman and she had gray hair pulled back in a bun. And she said she had on like a long, like period dress, like from the 1800s. And whenever she came in, which was usually around the children's bedtime, it was like she came in to tuck the children into bed. She smelled like lilacs, and that was her favorite flower. And there used to be all kinds of lilacs on the farm. There isn't now. A lot of them have died. But she said she saw, children would say, the woman appears, and it smelled like lilacs. And my mom said, oh, my gosh, that's Aunt Juanita.
Wow.
So
wow.
Aunt Juanita never left the house. She was still living there.
Yeah.
And and now it's like she was so excited because now there were children there that she could kind of look over. Isn't that cool?
That's like Kathy. What?
Oh, I don't know what that sound is. I don't know.
Kathy, they're coming online. Kathy's been on, my cousin, I think once or twice, and they had a house in Jersey. And my grandmother lived with them, her father, her mother. And apparently the people that took over the house have told her that apparently my grandmother shows up and her father shows up because the kids are playing with they've seen my grandmother, who's about 4'11", and they talk to her and they play with her. My grandmother loved kids. I think she did anyway. She had 11 of them. So they see them, and I said, what are you going to do about it? She goes, well, they asked me to take them out or anything, so I guess nothing right now. So she isn't doing anything. Also, my parents lived in a big old house in Glen Olden. It was across from the railroad tracks. It's got the sliding doors inside. I know it's like from 1870. And apparently they had seven kids. The previous owners, the first owners, had seven kids. And people remember going over there to go to dances and things like that because a couple of them were musicians. And, Saturday night, people would go over and there'd be dancing going on and stuff like that, neighborhood kids. So, I have a sister who's a musician, and she would, when the family moved in, I was never part of this house. I never saw the ghost. But my sister is a musician, and she would play the harp. And she looked over, and she saw this tall, blonde-haired woman smiling at her and kind of waving at her, sitting on the chair in period clothes, watching her while she was playing the harp. And I think the first time she got pretty upset, but then she got used to the woman. So she kept hearing the name Adele, Adele, Adele. So she went back to the records, and she found out that an Adele did own the home but lost it because of tax purposes. And apparently they had seen the woman kind of traveling through the house holding wood, you know, as you would, you know, there's a couple of fireplaces in there that aren't working anymore. And I know my brothers and sisters have seen it. Like, they said that there was a fight one time, and a mist kind of showed up around them, and that ended the fight. Everybody just left. It's no fun anymore. The ghost is here. In the garage, my daughter saw her at 2 or 3 because, you know, we never mention anything about a ghost. And we were all, and I've told this story 100 times on the show, is that my father has his garage full of stuff. My father would work on lawnmowers and things like that. And we were having a barbecue, and she comes over and she goes, Mom, there's a lady in the long dress sitting in the garage. Do you think she wants a hamburger? I'm like, I don't think she can eat a hamburger. So she saw her too.
Oh, wow.
So that's, you know, that's, go ahead.
So who said that? Who said, does she want a hamburger?
Kemi, she was about 2 or 3 years old. And she looked and she's like, she's like, there's a woman with a long dress, a blonde-haired woman, and you think she wants a hamburger. She doesn't have one. And I'm like, I don't think she eats hamburgers. I've never seen her. But, you know, that's my daughter. My daughter has always been able to see. So that's kind of one. Do you have another one? Another story?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, we'll go back and forth.
All right. So, one of the things I want to say about ghosts is there's many, many different reasons why they appear. And every case is different. So I just want to say that. Oftentimes when ghosts appear to me, and this has been going on for a very long time for me, they come to my bedroom and most of them want to be crossed over. Okay. 99%
yeah.
of them. But sometimes there are ghosts that are just happy, like Juanita. I don't think Juanita wanted to be crossed over. She was kind of still happy of being in the farmhouse. But
yeah.
One of the most really shattering paradigms for me was I was with my mother up in Williamsburg, Virginia, and we were doing some Christmas shopping. And we do this every year. We usually go up together. And we go to the outlets and stuff like that and just do kind of a girls' weekend. You know, my sister goes, just Christmas shopping. So we went up there, and this is like probably 6 years ago, 7 years ago. And we were in the Holiday Inn. We were sleeping in the same room. And all of a sudden, I woke up in the middle of the night. It was like 2 or 3 in the morning. And let me tell you, that's usually when they appear to me. It's like 2 or 3 in the morning. And it was a boy, okay? Definitely a boy. And he had dark brown hair, almost black hair, and he was around 11 years old. And he was standing in front of the television set, like in the hotel room. And I was startled, you know, but I didn't scream. I startled. And he said to me, "I want my mommy, and I want to go home." And I was like, oh, my gosh. Okay. And so we did. We crossed him over. And then when I got back home, of course, with my, you know, by myself, I never told my mother about any of this. But when I got back home, I looked it up on Google, and there had been a little boy hit by a train right near there. And he... didn't know I don't think he knew he was dead. So he was looking for his mommy. So I just put an appeal out there to all light workers. If you want to learn how to cross over beings, let me know. I can help teach you how to do it. And it's not hard. It's not hard at all. You basically, you know, you work with Archangel Michael and Archangel Azrael, and you open up the window and they cross over and then you close it. And that's really all there is to it. I mean, for me. But it was a shattering paradigm for me, because first of all, everyone thinks that all children go to heaven immediately, and they don't. And that, you
no,
know,
because they don't
that's
know.
Kind of not what we're taught. You know, we're taught that your guardian angel comes and yeah, whisk you away and all that. But if you have a really violent death, that doesn't always happen.
No, you don't even know you're dead. You don't know you're dead. So that I can. Well, I've got a historical one.
Okay.
I have a historical one. Okay. Now I think I have my husband, being the sweetheart that he is, bought me ghost books for because I asked him for ghost books of Delaware County, and this one is by Charles J. Adams. I took this from Charles J. Adams and www.ashortstoryblog.com, and this is about Blackbeard. Okay? Now, Blackbeard, you know where Philadelphia is, right? Philadelphia, then there's Delaware. Well, near Chester, there's a place called Marcus Hook. And there's a house called the Plank House in Marcus Hook. Now, Blackbeard was said to have visited Marcus Hook. This is really, you know, how this turned out. Marcus Hook is a town south of Philly, and during that time, William Penn ordered, like 1770, it was 1770, it would have to be, I don't know, I'm not sure if it's 17 or 18, 1800s, okay, yeah. Down there, William Penn said that was going to be an open market there. They were going to have a market there, okay, a public market to be built there. It didn't really work out for William Penn, because what happened, the pirates would invade the towns up and down the coast and then go back to Marcus Hook to restock and sell what they had plundered, okay? So it kind of worked out pretty badly. All right, so Edward Natch, who's also known as Blackbeard, came on the Queen Anne's Revenge, and it was a French merchant ship with 40 guns, okay? He would come into Marcus Hook, and he found this Swiss woman named Margaret, and he took a real liking to her. She apparently, that was his favorite when he got into the port, and he came into the port a lot because, you know, they'd come up, they had 40 guns, they would run up and down the coast, pillage things, and come back again. So he would see her in Marcus Hook, and it was on Discord Lane they would get together. So after he died, after Blackbeard died, Margaret bought, it's called the Plank House, and it's 221 Market Street in Marcus Hook. She bought the Plank House, and she stayed there. It was built by somebody else. Well, later on, pretty recently, a guy named Michael Manerchira bought the Plank House on Market Street, and they redid it. Him and his wife and his family redid it. They were trying to downsize. Well, if you look, they realized that there were some spirits in the floorboards, you know, and they had uncovered a fireplace. And while he was showing something in the fireplace, I think it's, if you look on page 87, it's called Ghost Stories in Delaware County by Charles J. Adams III. You see this face. He's talking about something. Michael is talking about something in the fireplace, and his sister snaps this picture. And it looks like Blackbeard. It really does. It's this big face. It's got very thin, pencil-thin mustache, an eye patch, and it's looking out of the fireplace. I was showing my husband. It was so cool. So they said that there's been a lot of things like, you know, it'll be 90 degrees outside, and you walk in there, and you can see your breath. So what happened is after, and there's some signs, after they And Michael Manchura donated it to Marcus Hook, the Marcus Hook Preservation Society. And so now they have, like, pirates. They have pirate parades and things like that. So, yeah, that house has a lot of activity around it. You know, that has a lot of activity around it. So I thought that was pretty cool. That was historical.
That is cool. And, you know, Blackbeard, his ship sunk off North Carolina's coast. I don't know if you know
that.
Yeah,
he made a mistake there. I think he got greedy, and they finally sank him.
Got stuck on a sandbar or something, but they're raising the ship as we speak right now.
Are they? Yeah. That was pretty neat. I didn't know, actually, I did the research, and I didn't know that it was a public market, and that, you know, it was far enough away from Philadelphia that they couldn't go down and take care of it. They couldn't go down and pick up the stolen goods or anything. It was kind of out of the reach of Philadelphia, so the pirates just came in and out and did what they wanted. So anyway, do you have another story?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
This is another historical along the lines of. One thing I want to talk about here is haunted objects. So,
yeah.
A lot of times, an entity can be attached to an object. And I'm going to tell the story of the Titanic. So, here in North Carolina at our Life and Sciences Museum, and this was, I'm not sure how many years ago, maybe 4 years ago. My friends and I bought tickets to go see the Titanic exhibition that was coming through Raleigh. So we were all excited, and we, you know, geared up, and it was a group of probably six of us that went. And my sister and I went. And what they do is when you first go into the exhibit, they give you a ticket, and they tell you who you are. Like, okay, you're first class cabin, third class cabin, second class cabin, whatever.
And
so
they assign you a seat.
So they're trying to make it more real for you. You know what I mean? Like would it have been like to be on the Titanic? So we're going through. And all of a sudden, we walked into this room, and I just got ice cold up and down my spine, goosebumps. And I look over, and there is this diamond bracelet that has the name Amy, and it's solid diamonds, solid. And it looked like a child wore it, probably around, you know, 8, 9 years old, it looked like. And it said Amy. And I was like, oh, my gosh. I got the chills. I knew she was there. I could feel her. I didn't see her, but I felt her. And she was tugging on my leg, like tugging on my pant leg. And she was trying to get my attention. I was like, oh, boy, here we go. You know, it was really cool because they had, like, all, like, some of the original, you know, they had brought up the dishes. They had dishes. They had plate settings. They had clothes. They had clothes. They had nightgowns. They had pajamas. They had all kinds of stuff that they had raised. They had women's jewelry. They had men's artifacts. They had all kinds of stuff. And, you know, it was just one of those things where the light bulb went off that you don't have to be in a cemetery to see a ghost or a house. It, you know, they're attached to these objects.
Right.
And that would make sense, wouldn't it? Because
right.
what else do you have? It's like, but anyway, the good news is my sister and I were both first class passengers and we both lived. But the other people with us were third class and they all died. So that was the big joke at the end. They're like, man, we got shafted, man. And my sister and I were like, thank God we lived. We were in one of the boats. But, you know, I don't know if you saw the movie, but they literally, like, locked them down in the third class. They locked them in
right,
there.
Right, I did.
So
I did.
They couldn't even get out. So who knows how many, like, earthbound souls are walking around from that ship.
Right. And I think they yeah. filmed another one this year that's really going to be the biggest in the world. And I'm thinking, all right, 2017, 1917. I think they've just built another big one. Well, I've got, well, did you pass her over?
Yes. Yes, I did. I did pass
okay.
her over.
Well,
yeah.
I've got those things that tell you. I got from Thought Company, Stephen Wagner. He posted it August 10th, 2017. Kind of let you know that, you know, if you have unexplained noises, footsteps, knocks, rapping, you know, scratching sounds, something being dropped or rolled, yeah, you might have a ghost in there. You might have, you know, somebody, a spirit running around. Lights turning off and on, you know, electrical, you know, all of a sudden your electricity,
yeah.
you've got a radio going on or the television suddenly goes on. Cabinet doors, you've closed something and you come back in and it's open, or chairs been moved, or,
yeah.
you know, items disappearing. You put your keys down. Now, I mean, I'm a mom, so the key thing goes on forever. I mean, it could just be me. But you put your keys down and then they're missing for a while. And then you come back and they're in the same place where you had put them, and there's no explained reason for it. Or that unexplained shadows, you know, you're looking through and all of a sudden you see a shadow flip by out of the corner of your eyes, or you see a cat or dog that's not there. We have a spirit cat in this house. I look down. Now, it's either because we've lost two cats since we've been here. So it could be the cat here or the cat that lived here before. I don't know. Or you watch your dog or your cat, and all of a sudden they're following something around the room that they don't know, that you can't see. And animals are really, really psychic. So they'll see something that's not there. You have the feeling of being watched. Now, that's kind of the light evidence. You can have feelings of a depression or nausea when entering a house. You
mm-hmm.
have unidentified scars or wounds on the body. You know, you wake up the next day and you're like, God, how did I get that? The stronger evidence is feelings of being touched. You know, you feel like you've been nudged or poked, or, you know, somebody's caressing your head. Or you hear cries and whispers. There's cold
yep.
or hot spots around the house. You can have, like, mild psychokinetic phenomena, as watching a door open or close, watching it, or seeing the television turn on by itself, feeling somebody sit on the bed. Like, a lot of people have said that after their pets pass away, they can still feel their cat jumping on their bed even after the cat has passed away. Or the radio or the television turns on. Another is unexplained smells. Like, sometimes we'll walk in our room and I can smell tobacco, perfume, or incense. Now, extreme evidence is moving or levitating objects. You see the thing kind of going across the room. And I used to belong to Paris Study in Delaware County. I love that place. And they did mention that there was a pillow that actually took off across the room by itself. And they said up in the bathroom someplace, this is one of the books, the ghost books I was reading, something made an ashtray fly across the room. And you could have furniture sliding across the floor. You could be physically assaulted with scratches, slaps, you know, hard slaps, shove. And or you might see a handprint or written stuff on the wall. Or you can actually see somebody appear. Okay, that would be, you know, that would be kind of things that are, you know, that are happening. Now, talking about parastudy, I have a couple stories about parastudy. One comes from the book. One, parastudy is this building that was, it's Zoe Nickerson was compared to Edgar Cayce. She was a reader in Delaware County, and she was really good. And she started this study, and I think she bought the parastudy house. It was called the Voight House or the Voight Mansion. And she donated it for a parastudy, paranormal experience, personal development. And you go there, and you have almost every type of, like, I've seen classes on Bach flowers. I've seen, who's the woman that does the past life work? She's really popular.
Yeah, from Virginia. Yeah.
Children's Past Lives. You know who I mean. I saw her there. And, like, you know, you go in there and the class is $5. They might have put it up to $15. They have potluck dinners and stuff, and they have a ton of spirits in there. Like, there was a little boy that I guess had lost his life. I mean, there was not a little boy that had lost his life, but when you have, we have, like, potluck dinners there, and they said there was a little kid going up the steps one time, and he moved out of the way. There was nobody there, but apparently he could see something. And that's the place that I had seen. I pulled in one night. I was doing readings one night. I pulled in next to the carriage house. And, you know, the carriage house is yellow. If you look at it online, it's called Parastudy, Parastudy Inc. And there's a carriage house in the back. And when I pulled in the car, it was nighttime, and there was a guy standing there. He had a countertop in front of him, kind of a workbench. Behind him was all tools from the past century. He had a beard, a leather apron. I was going to say tablier. No, it's French is tablier. And there was gas lighting going on, or, you know, lights like that. And I'm thinking, that's really weird. I don't remember them opening the garage. And he was as real as you or I was. This was a full-on apparition. I couldn't even see through the guy. I mean, it was a whole scene. It was from one side of the garage to the other. And I like old tools. I go to the Mercer Museum. And when I'm home, I go to the Mercer Museum because they have a tool museum up there, and I like seeing, you know, the old tools. And I recognized some of the tools that they had. And I got inside, and I said, who's the guy out in the garage? And I said, I didn't know we had a farmer in the garage. And they all started laughing at me. Oh, they're like, that's one of our ghosts. And I know there's another guy on the property that has a horse. You can actually hear the horse, you know, walking through. And then in the 1970s, and this is a story from one of the books, I think it's a Delaware County book, that there was a person there, and it was the day before Christmas, and she was working because you have, you know, somebody's got to keep up the house. I think there's like, it's a huge place. It's pretty big, and, you know, it's got to be cleaned and stuff. She said at 3 o'clock on Christmas Eve, she could hear all these this laughing. She said she heard children running up and down the back steps. She could hear somebody in the kitchen kind of bustling around. People were coming in, and she heard a horse and horses and carriages coming. And, like, it was a whole thing. Like, people were getting ready. The ghosts were getting ready for the holiday the next day. So she stayed and listened for a while, and then she wished everybody Merry Christmas. That wasn't there. That weren't there. They were not visible. And I'm going to say they're not there. They weren't visible. And then she left. So they have a lot of they have a lot of ghost hunters there too. They regularly go out to, I think, Fort Mifflin and things like that, and they use all the ghost catching equipment and stuff. So ghost detection, not catching, ghost detection equipment. So yeah, that's a place in Delaware County that has a lot of ghost activity going on.
Oh wow.
So anyway, so let me go back into the thing. Okay, so steps to take if you think you have a ghost. Figure out what's a rational reason this thing might be happening. You know, or is there, you know, if you're hearing rolling in the house, do you have a cat pushing things across the floor, or is the house settling, you know? if the opening and the closing of the door, maybe faulty hinges or something like that, disappearing of objects, maybe you left your keys someplace else. Shadows and shadows could be due to headlights. So what they suggest is, they say you get witnesses. You know, the more people that can verify what's going on, the better. You try to find a rational explanation. And they said keep a journal, videotape, photograph, but make sure that you keep a journal of what's going on. Now, if the spirits are causing too much physical, or if they're causing any physical or psychological damage, call an expert right away. Now, you don't always have, like, I know that if people call the priest to do an exorcism, yeah, it doesn't always work. I had a case in this village where she called the priest for an exorcism, and she came up, and she's like, yeah, that didn't work. So, I was taught by Sandra Hodge McGill, if you need to get in contact with her, how to clear property. So I was able to do it from my house. I didn't have to go down there. I was able to clear it from my house. And she said the house was so much better. She said her husband hadn't been able to sleep in the house, and it was getting really bad, because she said the previous owner was an alcoholic and a really bad, mean, evil person. I don't want to say let's say really sick person. And she said that it seemed like his vibrations were all there. And then when we did the clearing, and a protection, that wasn't there anymore. And she said she had work that needed to be done on the house, right, and she couldn't get anybody in to work on the house. As soon as the clearing was done, she goes, the phone was ringing off the hook for people to come in and complete the work. Are you there? Oh, did I lose you?
No, hold I'm on. Here. I'm sorry. I had to run to the restroom.
Oh, okay. I'm just sitting here speaking in the void.
No.
So anyway.
I heard the whole thing. Yeah, I heard it. So speaking of Sandra, Sandra is an amazing person, because she's constantly pushing the envelope of, okay, what can we do next? What's the next thing we can help with, kind of thing. And I was wondering, can we talk about portals a little bit? Because that's something recently that she was helping us with. And I actually followed her instructions, and I did my first one today for a real person.
Well, I'm going to cite the person who put it up there. It's How to Locate and Close Spirit Portals. It was posted August 11th, 2016, by Dr. Nefer Kapri. Nefer is N-E-F-E-R, and Kapri is K-H-E-P-R-I. So she talks about how she has, like, 6-foot fence out of her backyard, and she saw figures that were walking across her backyard. Like, one even looked in the house. And she ran outside, and she couldn't see anything out there. So she started looking for portals. And she said, you can use a pendulum, or you can use your dowsing rods to check for portals. Now, if you have a there's portals that are their entry portals and their exit portals, okay? She said, do not close the exit portals, because you got to give the spirit a place to go out, all right? So don't close those. So if you find a portal using your pendulum and it's going clockwise, then you have a portal that's coming into the house. And these things can just show up. They can show up on your property. They can show up in your house. She said she has one in her drain. She said she's closed this portal about 500 times. You know, things are going okay in your house. And or you have something that opens the portal, like you've been playing with the Ouija board or something like that. You know, you got to close the portal. Now, the portal that goes out, the pendulum turns counterclockwise. All right? So she said, do not shut the exit portals out. Now,
I just want to say for the record, we don't recommend Ouija boards.
No, we don't. That's what I'm saying, is don't do that. Yeah, oh, yeah, No, don't do that at all, not even at all, not even playing. All right, so what she does is if she finds a portal, and a portal that is allowing people in, She opens herself up to the flow of Reiki, you know, and she draws the master symbol, followed by three shoku rays, followed by three say hey keys, followed by three more shoku rays. And she said, if you return to the first degree, then simply focus on channeling the energy. So she channels the energy down through her crown chakra, down through her feet, into the earth, then up again through the feet, up the legs, into the torso, and along the arms and out through the hands. And she said, at this point, you can state your intention to shut down the entry portal and keep an eye on the pendulum. So the pendulum should continue swinging in a clockwise energy this entire time and not waver. But once the Reiki begins to flow into the portal, what will happen is the portal will start to decrease in size until it closes. And you know it closed when your pendulum completely stops rotating or swinging, okay? So then she says she steps back two or three paces and waits a few seconds. Then she returns to the exact same spot to test for the portal. She said your pendulum should not react in any way if you have successfully closed the portal. If it does react, then you're dealing with a very large or strong portal and will need to repeat the process in order to shut it down. Now, she says that, you know, there's a portal in her, she says, if you're experiencing, or I don't know if it's who, you know what, I don't even know that. If you're experiencing paranormal activity in your home, it could be that your home contains one or more portals. Locate them using a pendulum. If you find an entry portal, simply shut it down. He or she says, new entry portals can form, but it's rare for them to occur in the exact same spot again. She said she has one in her daughter's sink that she's closed about 500 times. She said that, you know, this method really does work. Now, if you don't have more than Reiki, if you don't have like a Reiki 2, then you just use your regular Reiki energy. I don't know what you would do if you don't have Reiki. I mean, I really don't. I guess I really don't know what you do. I only know that, you know, what you would do if you have Reiki. So I'm putting that out there for anybody who's got that problem. And she said, like, the beings you can have, because she puts down beings with bodies and being without bodies. And, you could end up getting aliens, you can get ghosts, you can get all sorts of things. So you gotta kind of look at this and take care of this. She also has prayers. She also has prayers that are there, but I don't know if I'll if anybody wants the prayer, then just let me know and I'll send it to them.
Yeah.
You there?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So the one that I closed today, I didn't use any Reiki with that.
Okay. How'd you do it?
I just opened up the records for the property.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, that's right. You did that today.
So that's another option for people. If you know how to open the Akashic records, you can open up the records for the street address, and that's what I did today on that.
Right.
I mean, the thing is, and this is not just for anyone. I mean, this is like advanced ghost busting. Okay, advanced ghost
busting. Oh, yeah, and you have to be protected yourself when you do this stuff, huh? Don't take this over and go, oh, this. No. Make sure you're in full protection, and you've got your crystals on you, and you've got your angelic group behind you when you do this stuff. It's not like, oh, I'm going to go out and do this. I have no. You go out with full Archangel Michael protection.
Right. And Metatron, that was the other person that came up today when I was talking with Sandra, was Metatron. But apparently beings, dark ones are really frightened of Metatron. They don't like him. So that's just another
one. I've watched him because I did a healing on somebody and I ended up getting a bunch of stuff on me. I was like, ah. And I called him Metatron. I watched them all being marched across the Rainbow Bridge.
Yeah. Yep. That's kind of what we do. But anyway, I just wanted to mention here that, when you do advanced ghost busting, what I'm talking about is when you have repeatedly tried to get rid of something with a house and it just doesn't want to go. And that's happened to me. I actually have had that. And finally, I'm like, what in the world do I have to do to get this thing to go? It kept bothering their daughter. She was like a teenager, and it was really stressful, and she was afraid to sleep in her room, and she would, you know, she was just terrified. And finally, we figured out it was a portal. It was a portal in her bedroom, and there were bad entities coming up through it. And Michael helped me shut it down. Now, this is many years ago, but that was the way for me to shut down this being that kept coming in her room. And the thing is, I mean, she had like Archangel Michael statues and all that, and it still was coming in. So
right.
I really believe in this portal thing. I think it's kind of like going to be something more and more that we're going to be looking at.
Well,
because if you
know,
think
you
about
don't...
it, if you're on a highway and you've got roads, portals are just like roads. They're already
entrance.
In the earth.
Yeah,
they're already
entrance
there.
Entrance and exit points.
Entrance and exit points are already there. They've been there for millions of years, many of them. And, and like you said, it's like anything in this world, it can be positive or negative. It could be a good portal or a bad portal.
Right.
So,
right.
You know,
well,
it's something that
we're
looking at more and more, especially with people that don't seem to get well for whatever reason. They just don't seem to get well.
Yeah, you have to also watch, because I took a something on Earth Energies too. You also have to make sure that you're not having grid ley lines running through your house at the wrong place and things like that. You know, when you look at a row of trees and you see they all have tumors on them, then you have to look at the energy point and make sure that kind of energy isn't running through your house. Because if it is, Robert Egbe, who is an amazing psychic, he's a medium. He's an amazing medium. He is on Facebook. He's written a couple books. He's actually written books on vortexes. And I do remember what he said was, if you've got those lines running through your house, he said you can check through, you can make your own divining rods. But another thing you can do to get one of those ley lines that are, you know, bad for people, where people are always sick in that house, is you take a copper wire, you put it under the ground, and it'll deflect the energy 60 degrees, okay? So you cut a copper wire, you put it parallel to the house, like if it's coming through the front door, it's coming the sideways, it'll deflect the energy 60 degrees, you back it up enough, and then you have it another copper wire on the other side of the house to pull the energy back down again so it's not going directly through the house.
Interesting.
Yeah, Robert, if you're looking for geo energies, spirals and things like that, Robert's the guy to go to. I mean, he's been doing this forever. So it's Robert Egbe, and I think he's out in New Jersey. He was in New York, but he's out in New Jersey now, and he's really great at teaching mediumship too. So, hey, do we have anybody online?
We do not.
Oh,
we actually do.
Okay.
I was surprised.
Well, I'm going to I'll say one of these prayers that I'll actually use some of these prayers that Sandra gave to me. And one of them is, Heavenly Father, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I now put upon myself and all present the full armor of God, the armor of light, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the belt of truth, the garment of vengeance, the cloak of zeal, and any other part of the armor of God that I do not know about, and my feet shod with the gospel of peace. That's one of them. The next prayer is, first say a prayer to bind the beings that are attacking you. Heavenly Father, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you to please send billions and trillions of legions of angels to bind all of these beings, and name the beings. I have a list of beings attacking me and those I care for, and you name the people you care for. Please deliver these beings to me for their total destruction. In Jesus' name, Father, I ask you to prevent me from being harmed when I do this, and please prevent anyone from knowing that I did this, and please keep all knowledge of what I do hidden from all of the enemy. That's pretty important. When you're going after do this stuff, you want to make sure you're cloaked spiritually and nobody sees your face. If you want to kill them all spiritually, you say the beings have been delivered to you. They are bound together in a small area. Now physically lift your arms and hands and see yourself holding a giant sword. Say this prayer as you physically slice and thrust all the evil ones you sense. Keep doing it until you feel they are destroyed. And it says, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I will kill and destroy these beings. And so it is done. It is done. And so it is. So that's what I have for, that's what Sandra sent me for the getting rid of the beings and things like that.
Okay. Now, along the lines of that, I also wanted to mention holy water.
Yes.
And if you're going into a haunted house and you know that it's haunted, okay, which sometimes I know I've done that. Like if I'm going on vacation and I know I'm going to stay, like in Nantucket, we stayed in a really old house. The head whaler there, we stayed in his house. And that was full of ghosts. As soon as I walked through the door, I was like, oh, my God. But, I mean, I wasn't going to tell my parents that. But, you know, I was like, whoa. I always bring holy water with me, and I always bring salt. Salt and holy water. And the other thing I'm going to mention here that I've learned from Spirit is there is Morton's it's salt with the Star of David on it. It's called Morton's Rock Salt. And you can buy it here in the United States. But that is the strongest salt that I've ever found to you know, kind of keep the bad guys away.
Right, right.
When you're trying to sleep and you really don't want to deal with it. You know, sometimes you do want to deal with it, but sometimes you don't.
Well, do you keep the salt in your pocket or do you sprinkle it around your bed? Because this is good for people who, you know, police officers and things like that. So what do you do?
I sprinkle it around my bed. I actually...
All right.
So to fully be protected, and this I learned from Sylvia Brown a long time ago in one of her books, is to put a ring of salt around your bed. Actually, a ring of salt.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Grace, we've got some callers. You want to go ahead and take them?
Let's go. Okay.
Okay. All right. Let's see. We have area code 239.
Yes. It's
that's Sandra.
Sandra.
Hey. How are you?
How are you
guys? How are you? I'm fine.
This is our mentor.
Yeah.
Our amazing mentor has called in. Thank you so much.
Well, do you have anything to add? Go ahead.
No, I think you guys did a really great job, and it's something that's the detail of all of it is fairly new to me. I've done a lot of research, just like you have, Grace. You know, the bottom line is that, you know, I agree with you about the Ouija board. Please, no Ouija boards. And they only attract low base beings that often are apt to really just kind of scare you. And a lot of us did it as teenagers. So I agree. Don't even go there. It's just dangerous if you don't know what you're doing. But No, I think you did a great job, and I enjoyed listening to you today. And,
well, wait, don't go anywhere. You know, I know you did ghost busting. You told me you did ghost busting before. So tell us about a ghost busting experience.
Well, the one of the first ones that I went to that my mentor used to always, this was actually in Philadelphia, and she always, when someone would ask her to clear a house, then she would have, she would take the opportunity to teach the class of how to clear. And so my first one, which was back in the 80s, was a funeral home.
Really?
Wow.
There were about 25 people there that night sitting in a circle, and it was very fascinating. We sat on the circle on the floor of the main area where they normally would do the service, you know, when somebody would pass away. And so the idea was to clear the funeral home because the gentleman who owned the funeral home lived upstairs. And so there was so much activity that it was affecting him, and so she took it as an opportunity to teach, and that was my first one. And so this mentor actually basically opened up an exit portal in the center of the circle where we were and invited all the lost souls who were trying to find God's light to cross over. And they did. And then we were all invited to channel what we were individually getting as we connected to different entities that were lost. And so there were a lot of fascinating stories as to why they didn't cross over. And but what happened was, unbeknownst to us, there was a local old cemetery in the area, and they just poured through. Hundreds went over the bridge that night. And it was just an amazing, for the first time, it was a very scary experience for me, because I thought, oh, my gosh, what am I doing?
And it becomes real. It never gets real until that point, you know. And then you're thinking you're playing around with it, and all of a sudden, oh, no, this is real.
Oh, no, this is real. Yeah, this isn't just a scary movie. There's people that need help. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. But, yeah, lots of stories. I think was a story I mentioned to Jennifer just recently of clearing a house that was very negative. And there were three people in the family, and the young man was obviously involved in some really dark stuff. And this was a house that somebody had purchased, and they had asked the group to come over and clear it. And after we had cleared the house, as we were standing outside getting ready to leave, there were three butterflies at the peak of the roof, and we felt those butterflies were a confirmation of the three people that used to live in the house that it was clear.
Oh, so nice.
Really, you get great confirmations of the work that you've done.
Yeah.
Wow. That's really nice. Wow.
Yeah. And to Sandra's point, it's like there could be many reasons why that property is needs to be cleared. It could be the house itself. Maybe the people that live there were violent or negative, or, you know, did some type of ritual stuff. Or it could be that the land actually is, there could have been ancients doing ritual stuff on the land that needs to be cleared. So it can be the house, the land, the people. I mean, it's like you kind of have to figure out where to start too.
I think bringing this up too, you remember that series Charms and things like that? A lot of this magic stuff is, some of it's directed towards the teenagers. And it's like, it's one of those conversations you really have to have with your teenagers. You know, what are you doing by opening this stuff? You know, if you're buying magical equipment and things like that, are you ready to deal with the consequences that may come back? And, you know, it's the same thing as having, you know, that unprotected sex talk. You really need to take a look at where your teenager is going and what they're doing, you know, and any young adults and things like that, because they could be opening things that they are not at all prepared to deal with.
Exactly.
No.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
That's why I go back to the Ouija board thing, because, oh, my gosh, like our neighbor kids growing up had one, and they would bring it over to our house, and my sister and I would play with it. Like, we didn't know. We didn't know, and now I'm like, oh, my gosh, what were we doing?
I know. My mother would never let me play with it. She would never give me a reason why, but she would never let me play with it. And she's Catholic, and I know she never did that type of stuff, but she absolutely forbid us playing with a Ouija board.
Right. And I had one left over from teenage years that I still had, and once I got involved in metaphysics and these kind of realms, I took that thing, I broke it up, and I threw it in the trash. If I had a way to burn it, I probably would have burned it, but I threw it away and destroyed it so that no one else would ever pick it up and use it. And I said, you know, and that explained, because sometimes as a teenager when we would play with it, it, you know, would spell out curse words, or it would say scary things, you know, frighten you, and that's what the whole thing is. It's not anything. It's really not a toy at all.
Oh, yeah.
Not.
And then, well, going back to that, you know, if you have a reading with somebody, if you have a reading with somebody and if it's somebody's like a medium, you have to remember that when you deal with a medium, it's they're channeling human spirits. Okay, they're not channeling spirit. There's a difference between having an angel mediumship reading because there's a lot of protection going on there. When you're having an angel mediumship reading, you're calling in Archangel Metatron, Archangel Michael, Archangel Azrael, Archangel Raphael. So there's a lot of protection going on. When you're having a regular mediumship reading, you have to remember that you're channeling humans and you're not channeling spirits. You know, and that always needs to be remembered. If it comes out and you're like terrified of the reading, then, you know, make the sign of the cross, protect yourself, and then just shake it off and realize that it's not a reading from spirit.
Right.
Because we look at things, because humans look at things from human eyes. Nobody knows what God's plans are. I mean, nobody knows exactly what God's plans are. And if you get a bad reading, like I was supposed to be alive until I was 56. That was what they said. Well, I'm almost 60 now. You know, you have to realize, too, that every single thing you do can change that what that reading does. You're at one point in time. And those, if you, you know, go out and learn Reiki or if you go get some healing or blah, 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 you can always change what the end result of that reading is going to be.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the other thing too is that, you know, if you go and get a reading and if you come out feeling worse than when you went in, you're not talking to the right person. Because it's supposed to make you feel better. It's supposed to make you feel better, and that's why they call it a healing, is you're supposed to feel better. Now, I'm not saying that you won't go through some energetic things sometimes, you know, bodily function things, but overall, you know, my friend Liz and I were talking about this because she got a reading one time and it was so horrible. She cried for like days. It was so horrible.
Yeah. There's something wrong with it.
You know, it was some negative things about the man that she married. And the woman basically said, don't marry him.
Right.
Well, that's ridiculous. Because
yeah.
She married him. And they're happy, and you know, they, and it's like she knew that it was wrong, but she just was like, oh my God, what is, you know, she felt horrible.
Yeah, you've got to watch what your source is there, and remember, you know, it can always be changed, you know. And if you're a reader and you see that two people aren't, you know, going to make it, and you know that they're bound and determined to marry each other, then suggest things ahead of time. Well, you know, you might want to go see a counselor to learn how to communicate. You know, have some things in your bag to talk to them about. You know, you know that you might want to work on communication, or you may need to be a bit more independent so he's not carrying all the financial burden. I mean, you know, give suggestions then. At least give them something in their toolbox that they can use to fight for their love.
And that comes with experience. Like a new reader who meets very well could be extremely talented and intuitive, but it comes with experience that because this reading is not 100%, it's going to have a very high percentage. But the minute you change something, then the reading path changes. And so that's why it's just not 100%. But it should be a very large percent that things are happening. But an experienced reader will learn how to say it in a gentle, soft, or suggestive way, just like you said, to have them to maybe look at a path in case this is the direction that they're going, that you're making suggestions of what you should do as part of the reading. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, usually you have a list of therapists that you know that could help out. You know, a list of therapists that you can send them to or give them suggestions to go see.
Yep, you are correct.
Yep. That's I just had to add that in because it's, you know, Halloween and everything like else. So how's the energy going over there, Sandra?
Energy in my home or in Florida?
in your area in general, because she was in Florida.
The energy is always very high here. It's obvious that we are living in a portal, and oftentimes we often feel that we're in some kind of little bubble. So if you drive, like, you know, 15 miles outside of town going to the next town, you can actually feel the energy shift. So it's a very great place. But I had a similar experience when I lived in Albuquerque. Albuquerque at the time in the early or in the 90s, from 93 to like 2000 was when I was there, that I felt the same thing. There was a lot of great conversation like we're having this afternoon, and open talk about things, and people, a lot of like-minded people. And so I always felt Albuquerque was on a portal. But I did go back years later, and it didn't feel the same. So I don't know why an area would change, but or could it just been me, you know, like I'd changed. And so
well,
I wasn't
but
in the portal anymore. That vortex.
But didn't I think Archangel Raphael told Jennifer, like, when you were looking for energy spots, didn't Archangel Raphael tell you that the energy spots were not going to be where everybody thought they were? They had moved, they had shifted?
Yes, they have shifted around the world because the dark ones got a hold of the ley lines.
Okay, and that would explain going back for a visit years later that I didn't have the same reaction when I arrived in 1993.
Yeah, so
right now we're in a great energy vortex here in Southwest Florida, and it just seems like a lot of people are drawn to moving here.
Yes.
Hurricanes or not, they're coming anyway.
Yeah, I think the hurricanes are being seeded to go there because they hear a lot of spiritual people there. So they've decided to amp up the energy a bit.
Somebody said Florida is like living on a giant sandbar.
It's funny now. It wasn't funny a couple weeks ago. I was like, oh, my gosh. We were all really praying for you guys down there. The whole world was.
Except for our connection to, you know, Georgia and Alabama, we are pretty much an island.
Yeah, that's true. That's really true. So, yeah, that's, you know, well, I do have another ghost story. I have one. I have a couple more. There was a, in Cecil County, Cecil County in Maryland, because I have a Maryland book, they were talking about this prison that they had opened, and there was this guy who was an inmate, and he was sleeping in one of the cells. It was like a 4x8 cell, and he said he went to get up, and there was an Indian chief straddling him. He was sleeping on his stomach, and the Indian chief had his arms pinned behind him so he couldn't move. And he kept struggling with the Indian chief all night until finally the morning he came out, and he's like, I don't want to sleep in that cell again. They said he was a pretty tough guy, and he used to hang with bikers, and he was really visibly shaken. So you're going to have a lot of energy areas over, like, ancient burial grounds and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like that poltergeist thing, you know. You didn't say they were building it over the end. You didn't move the cemetery. So that happens, too.
Well, one of the reasons I called in was I was hoping I could ask a question.
Sure.
Okay. My question is for my daughter. And she... She lost her job and now has several opportunities for a new job. And I just want to kind of know that she's going to be okay. Her name is Christine. All right.
So you're asking specifically about her career, like, what do we see?
Yeah, she has she has two opportunities. One, they're offering her the job, but it is not in our current town. It's the next town over, so it's a little further. But she could also have the opportunity to work at home, and she's not sure that is what she could do. And she does have an interview on Wednesday at a company that she would like to work for. And then she has a second interview from another job that that's kind of in a financial advisor type that she really isn't really interested in. That one she feels is a little over her head and so on and so forth. But so I tell
okay,
you what.
Okay, so she has two jobs. She has two offers.
Yeah.
Has she taken the Series 7? Did she do the Series 7?
Did she do a what?
Did she do the Series 7?
No.
Okay. Pretty much to be a financial advisor, you need to have done that.
Right. And they told her that's something she has to do. And,
yes.
You know, she has a degree, and her whole thing is not around math and finances, and she just feels that... You know, if there was more of a admin job with that company rather than a financial advisor and having to go through all the testing and the studying and so on and so forth. But she really would love to get the job that she has. Let's make it simple. The job that she's applying for, she has an interview on Wednesday, is a company she would like to work for and is very close to her home rather than the one that's in the next. So let's just, you know, to keep it simple, asking the one question is the interview when will be a job offer?
I see the one that's in the next town.
Oh, really? Okay.
I see the one that's the next town because the one I see for this one, I don't know if you'll know the Lenormand series, but I see birds, then I see a coffin. All right, and then I see a tree, and trees usually health issues, cough and health issues, or things like that. The next one, that kind of says an ending to me. It could be an ending or something that she's probably not going to really like. But what I see for the next one is I see a whip, which would be repetitive work. But then I see a woman on a merry-go-round. And then I see the clouds, and the clouds are, like, it's going to be difficult for a while, and then it's going to get better.
Is this on the second offer?
This is
job?
What I see on the second job. And the coffin thing, when you were talking about the first job, I picked that on the first line. I mean, and I said, okay, well, let's try, you know, because Rhonda George says, if you have a decision, pull three cards. And that's what I started to do, and I got the coffin on the first thing. And I thought, well, let's do it this way, three cards this way. And I'm getting even though it's going to be kind of repetitive, I think that, and it's going to be difficult in the beginning, I think the second job is going to be more her. It's going to work more for her.
And it's a great company. She's been trying to get – this company almost feels like you have to know somebody to get into it. So,
and that's the second job, right?
Yeah.
That's the second job.
Okay.
And basically
It's got financial it's going to be good financially too.
Okay.
That's what I'm getting.
I pulled angel cards for this.
Okay.
And the card that was pulled was called Truth and Integrity. And what I think is this is very important to your daughter, Truth and Integrity. Mm-hmm. Does that sound like
her? Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes.
So this is her. This is her card. And I'm not sure what this means, but the romance card came up, and I don't know if that's romance with her husband or what, but there's some pull around romance for her right now.
Okay.
I don't know if it's within her relationship, if she needs to work on romance, but I feel like that's coming up for her.
Okay.
And then the other thing that came up was power, and it shows an angel getting their power back. So I also feel like I agree with Grace around the second position that she will pull in a lot of power her own power, and she will have power in this position.
Okay.
It's going to be difficult in the beginning, though.
Yes, and because the job she has been working, she's done for many, many, many years. And so you know what it's like to start the new job in particular and have to relearn. And so that's interesting. But I thank you for your insight. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Sandra.
Thanks for calling in, Sandra.
Okay.
All right. Talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, area code 773.
Hi, how are you, girls?
Good.
Fine, how are you?
Good.
Who is this?
Joellen.
Hi, Joellen. How's it going?
Oh, it's pretty, everything's going well.
Good.
You know, I have a question about how, you know, I've got a friend of mine who has one of her colleagues has, he's alcoholic or not alcoholic, but drug addicted, but he's
right.
High functioning, right? So he kind of hides it really well. But it's just been going on for so long.
What drug is he on?
I think it's, you know, it started out with alcohol and then it moved into drugs that you can kind of hide. So cocaine and opioids.
Okay.
And
so
it's
costing him some money for sure.
Oh, he's got money.
Okay.
But you know, it's just, nobody knows how to get, I mean, there's been all kinds of prayers and, you know, Reiki work and everything to try to get him to reach a place of surrender. And it's just been going on so long. I don't know how, you know, how you talk about evil spirits and haunted houses. And, you know, I wonder, how do you get out of someone, some evil energy holding on to someone?
Yeah. Well, the first thing that they want to say about addiction is that there's always a reason. There's always like a root cause. So
right.
There's got to be some kind of root cause in his psyche of why he's trying to fill that void within himself.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But then the complication is that when people are on drugs or alcohol, they're very susceptible to bad entities.
Oh, right.
And they punch holes in their aura.
Actually hop on to your energy field. And we've seen this a lot. Grace and I have seen this a lot.
Right.
Then it's like, then these entities wreak havoc with them. And then it's like the person's soul just kind of dissipates. It's almost like they become a shell of who they were. You know,
correct.
Kind of thing.
And it's just so sad. We love them so much. And,
I know.
You know, I'm telling you, there's been all kinds of people working on him. And then they think it's like voodoo or some other really strong bad energy, because it's someone down in the Miami area that has been keeping him on drugs to weaken him and stay in control of his money and all the other stuff. It's just so sad. We're just so sad.
Yes, absolutely difficult.
So he's got people constantly doing this to
him.
And they're in the voodoo.
Say that again.
You're saying that they're like friends or something that are manipulating him into.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, voodoo. Okay. the thing about voodoo is that it is, I don't want to offend anyone, but my experiences with voodoo have all been negative, okay? It's not something that I want to be associated with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there could be there could be, you know, there's religions out there called Centuria. And I don't know a lot about that, because I'm kind of, you know, I go the Christian route myself, but the best thing you can do is be in contact with him and have that light connection there for him that he can turn to. Because
is he trying to do anything for himself? Is he trying to do anything for himself to get off of
it? No. No.
There's not a whole lot you can do if they're not trying to do anything for themselves.
I know.
I mean, it's really sad to say.
I know. And I was just kind of sad, and I just kind of thought I'd mention that here on the show in case anyone's listening, that, you know, it's just, you know, people just think alcohol is just a problem, but it's not. It creates entities or openings and portals for entities to latch onto you. And I just,
yeah.
You know, there's some people, and he's a good person, and he just can't get out of it. He can't shake it.
Can you tell us?
He knows how far deep he is in it.
Can you tell us his name?
No.
Can you type it in the chat?
Oh, I see. Let's see. I'm trying to see. I've got so many. Here we are.
I'd
have
to
log in real quick.
Nobody can tell that.
You know, and the other thing I wanted to mention also is I teach at a high school. And like you said, it's always the kids that are curious about Ouija boards because people always glorify it on television shows.
Right.
Oh.
The Stranger Things. And,
yeah.
You know, and it's just, you know, I worry about how do I tell the kids to make sure that they don't do it without bringing up their curiosity, and then they go and do it. You know how that is?
And you're also, if you're teaching, you're in a position that you can't kind of bring that stuff up because then, you know, they come back at you and say, well, if you didn't mention it in the first place, they wouldn't have. I don't know. I think if you hear him talk about these things in class, like some of the shows and things like that, you can say, well, you know, you really got to know what you're dealing with and find and try to find. Like, sometimes there's shops around. There used to be metaphysical shops, you know, people that were into healing and things like that. Because there really needs to be teachers. You know, you really need to be able to teach the kids. And I'm with you. I don't know how to do that either.
We actually have an exorcist here in, I live in Indianapolis. And he has.
Okay.
Yeah, he's given, you know, talks and whatever. And he's like, oh, they're real. You know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
And, you know, people just think it's just a movie, you know? But he's like, oh, no. He's like, these things are horrible and they're real, and he's done multiple exorcisms.
If you can get him to work at a bookshop or, you know, like a group together and say, hey, I'm going to see so-and-so tonight, you know, then maybe they'll go along to see it too. You know, because that's really important for them to understand that, you know, if they get mad at a friend and they're going to send a spell or something like that, that it'll come back, you know, it'll come back and it'll affect their karma and all that other stuff. And I think that, you know, when they're younger, they kind of still need to know that.
Mm-hmm.
You
well, and everyone always thinks they're in high school, they're cognizant, and they don't, just because their bodies are larger, their brains aren't 25.
I know. It's like you're dealing with 6 years old again. When they're 16, you're dealing with six. They always say that 6 years old is like mini teenagers, and I think when you're 16, they go back to six sometimes.
Yeah.
Well,
go ahead.
I don't have anything to say. Go ahead.
I'm actually here at school right now doing some work, and I'm just wondering if, you know, how things are going along in my career. I work in graphic design, and photography, and I just feel like I'm so behind the eight ball in lesson plans, and I feel like I really would like to be more, gifted in my own area of interest. I'm wondering if you see good things or what you see I should do, what path I should take.
Well, I'm pulling cards, okay?
Okay.
Do you teach at a high school or a university?
High school.
Okay. One thing, this is totally unrelated, but one thing I'm getting is you need to clear your classroom.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what I just got.
I have I've done Sage, and I do it every year.
Oh.
How should I clear it?
You need to do it like every couple days. Yeah. Because here's the problem, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but teenagers, you said they're teenagers, right?
Yeah.
Okay. They're dealing with the hormone thing, you know, the rebellion, you know, all the things that teenagers go through. And their stuff, they're clearing a lot of, you know, dark stuff through those experiences. And they're bringing it into the classroom, and especially with you as a light worker and being very sensitive to energies, you need to clear your class very regularly.
Actually, she could bring in the Quan Yin pink dragons, the Saint Germain purple dragon, and the Christ gold dragons. That's pretty good for clearing out energy.
Oh, and not even the sage. Okay.
How do I bring in these things?
You just call them. I do it every single time. I'm part of a girls' club, and every time we have an event right beforehand, or I teach high schoolers English, I will call in Kuan Yin's pink dragons. I will call in Christ's golden dragons and Saint Germain's purple dragons to clear the classroom. I do it all the time, and it's very easy. You just call them.
Okay. Yeah. And listen,
because I teach at a Catholic high school.
Well, you don't say that loud.
Yeah, they don't have to know.
I feel like, okay, now I'll be honest with you because I keep pulling this thing. I feel like things have been repetitive in the past. You're kind of doing the same thing again and again. You must have gotten a gift in the past. And you're kind of moving forward right now in the merry-go-round. I feel like there's going to be a there's a difficult period, and you know it's going to get better. But anybody new in your entourage, you're going to have to be careful of, because I've got the snake that usually means something's about to bite you on the butt. You know, you're going to trust somebody you shouldn't have trusted, or you're going to trust something you shouldn't have trusted. So that's kind of in your future right now. Okay, that's what I see in your future. I mean, it was looking good. It was looking good, you know, and then I saw the snake, and I redid the reading, and the snake came out again in exactly the same place. I was like, okay, and these are like 40, I don't know how many Lenormand, there's 36 Lenormand cards, so it's pretty weird that the snake would come out again. I don't know if it's 40 or 36. So there's going to have to be somebody, if you get somebody new in your entourage, or if you've got like a bitchy best friend or something like that, don't be giving out a lot of information. Now, when you were talking, I was hearing that you're going to have to go back to school. So I picked apparently you've been out of balance. You know, when you're talking about this friend of yours, I'm sure you're putting a lot of energy into this friend. The problem is they pull our energy, and then we don't have any energy to do what we're supposed to be doing, which is getting our work done and this like that. So you're going to have to kind of bring more energy into yourself. I see that you're going to be picking up another, you're going to take a class, and then they're saying that you really have to focus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what I got. I pulled Lenormand, and I pulled the angel healing cards. So I don't know what you're going to be studying. I have no idea. What it has to do with spiritual growth. As I'm picking it up, the card came out. So you're going to be doing a spiritual class. Could be Reiki. It could be integrated energy therapy. It could even be crystals. And crystals feels like, as I'm saying crystals, that seems like it's going to be it. So you're going to be working with crystals. But they want you to focus. And I think it's going to be flowers, too. Flowers, and you're going to have to balance things out to be able to move forward.
Well, I think that's where I'm having trouble, because I'm having a really hard time getting focused. And that I even come to school to get my work done, and then I get distracted, and I have such a hard time. And I don't know how to get more focused.
Jasper, if you're going to do crystals, you want to pick up jasper. Red jasper is incredibly good for helping you focus, and white agate.
Okay. And, well, right. You know, it's funny you say the healing stuff, because I teach yoga on Saturdays, and I just feel like my class has gotten smaller, and I've gotten, go on.
That usually happens when you're going through a period where you're supposed to be growing. There's a period, and all healers go through this, all psychic growth readers go through this, where there's a period that you feel like, you know, kind of everybody's going away, you know, and you're not getting people. That happens, and they want you to dig down further into yourself. So if I were you, I would work with the crystals a bit. I have friends, like I've converted, like not converted, but I have engineer friends. I have a group of friends, and even the guys, the husbands now, have all their crystals in a box, and they put, like, you know, the jasper in their pocket when they're going to work and things like that. So I agree with, because you are so sensitive, I agree with Jennifer that you're going to have to clear that class like every day. Because you don't know where those kids have been. You have absolutely no idea. They could have been in the cemetery, you know, drinking alcohol, and they bring that stuff in with them. Problem is you being a light, those things kind of attach on you, you know. So you've got to clear yourself, and you've got to clear that class, like, every day.
Well, and also quite often I always ask Blessed Mother and Jesus to surround me with their positive, loving energy, white and golden light.
Yeah.
Oh, that's.
Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with that too. I mean, I totally agree with that. But it's just that snake thing that bothers me in the front here, because it came out in the future, and I was like, oh, come on. I picked it again. The exact same card came out again. So it's just like, in your future, beware of any new acquaintances that you have. And I hate to say that, but that's how the Lenore Mons cards came out. I mean,
well,
it could
be
Kundalini. Maybe
here.
The snake meant Kundalini. I have no idea. So let's take the snake as being either Kundalini energy, or, you know, just keep your guard up, you know, for a little while in the future. Not far. I would say the next 2 months.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say Kundalini, because I also teach a meditation class.
Okay. Well, that's perfect.
Oh, and
girls. Yeah.
I'm sorry, one last thing, Joellen, and we got to go because we have another caller, but they're telling me to tell you about sea salt. When you come home from work, and especially in the morning when you're getting ready for work, buy some sea salt and rub it on you, like in the shower, or if you take a bath at night. That will help clear away the toxins, and if you picked up anything from these kids that came in. So also,
okay, I also do. That sounds right. And I also, when I'm in the shower, every time I say, wash away any negative energy and fill me with positive, loving energy. So
right.
I'm going to do the sea salt too.
Yeah, it's really good, especially like. Scrub it on your hands, your face, you know, places where you're sensitive. Your feet, if you can get to it, you know, definitely it's really important. And I buy sea salt now all the time. Like, I always have it ready to go, and you'll just kind of know intuitively when you need to do it. But because, like you said, your symptoms is being scattered, and a lot of times that's because you've got things tugging at your energy. So
I'm like, what is wrong? Because I've done my.
Yeah.
Well, all right, I'm gonna let the other gal go, but I'm definitely. I looked you up online, so I'm gonna call you gals later. So thanks so much, girls, and I'll keep listening.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right.
And
all right, good night.
Bye, Joelle, and happy Halloween.
Yeah, happy Halloween. All right. Area code 914.
Hi. Hi, thank you.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. How are you, lady?
You're welcome.
Fine.
Who
are we talking to?
My name is Catherine.
Okay.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi. I have a work question, if you don't mind looking out for me, please.
Okay.
I wrote down 7 companies that I found online to take my project to. I'm wondering if you see any of these working out for me. One begins with the letter V. Sorry.
What you can do is put them in order right now, okay? Put them in order right now, and I'll draw the cards for all 7 of them. So I won't know the names of the companies, but I'll draw the card for company number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4, number 5, number 6, number 7, okay? So can you write them down in order right now?
I did. I do. I did, actually, yeah. They already are. Wow, you're so amazing. Oh, thank you so much.
Okay, hold
thank
on. We'll
you.
See what we get. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Let me see. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2. All right. Let me see. Hold on. Letter. All right. This is going to take a while. There's 7 of them.
Yeah. I appreciate this so much. It's been a long road with this project, like 2 years. Even if you want to do the first 4, that would be amazing. Yeah. I think those are my top picks, the first 4.
Is it a book?
No, it's a media project, so it encompasses, you know, some writing, just like all the, some music, just, you know, everything creative is put into it.
Okay, not number 2. Okay, so far number 1 looks good, all right?
Oh, awesome.
I'm not picking up good vibes from number 2. All right.
Okay.
Picking up a little bit of dishonesty in number 2. All right. Because
okay.
The box is coming. Number 1 came out tree, letter, and book. So that, I think that's a pretty good sign. Hold on, let me do number 3.
Thank you.
Number 3 is a no-go.
Okay.
So that was house, cross is an end, and anchor. They would just slow it up. They wouldn't, it wouldn't go out as fast as you want. Number 4 is very good. There's going to be a little bit of difficulty with it, but it looks really good. It looks like it's the key, okay?
Wow. Well,
clouds.
Of the people.
Wait a minute.
Oh, sorry.
Hold on, we're not done yet.
Okay.
4. I mean, while I'm sitting here with parts I've got out now. That's going to be a rough start, though, number 4, but then it looks like some things open up for that, all right?
Okay.
Number 5, there could possibly be a contract, okay?
Ooh.
But it's... There's going to be blocks, and then there's a contract at the end. Okay.
Okay.
Because the mountain,
It's Anchor, Mountain, and Ring. And Ring usually means contract. Right?
Ooh.
Okay, but Anchor, you know, putting it down. Mountain, they might ask you to change a bunch of stuff on it. Oh, definitely number six. Six looks good.
Oh, wow.
Moon and Rider. Okay, it's the key, the moon, and the phases of the moon and the Rider. I think that would come along pretty quickly. And hold on, let's go for number seven. And number seven looks good too. Moon, key, and polar bear, which is money.
Wow. Wow.
That's pretty good.
That's what I have. That's what the cards say, okay? I don't know if that's what you think, but that's what I'm getting from the cards.
Thank you. Thank you. It's really amazing, like you said, with four being good, those are one of the two people that I met in person. But I really, from what I've seen of my research of the companies online, you seem pretty accurate with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
wow.
I wish you luck. Just let us know if you got which one it was.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Good crack on this. Thank you. Thank
you.
You're welcome. All blessings to you both. Thank you.
Oh, take care, Kathy. Happy.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. So that is it for the callers. We thank everyone for joining us tonight. I think it was a great show. Thanks to Sandra for calling in. And we hope everyone has a safe and happy Halloween. And, you know, be careful with traffic and, you know, your candy. Make sure you check your candy and all that good stuff before you eat it.
Yes. Check your kids' candy. See which ones you like.
Yeah, try it out, make sure it's okay, and then they can eat it.
I finished the Milky Way bar. I'm so sorry. Have another one.
I have to make sure it's
all right.
Okay. God
Good
bless
night.
Everyone.
God bless.
Bye. Bye-bye.